Well, the truth is, I've been dreading this day for quite a few weeks. You know, I think that all of us, as you read the Bible, we come across passages that we don't like. Passages in the Bible that we don't like what happens. We don't like what it appears to say about God. We don't like what it might say about us and our lives. There are just passages that we have a hard time with that we just don't like. Well, today, I'm going to talk about one of the passages in the Bible that I find the most difficult to handle, the most difficult to process. And I'm going to do what every preaching professor says not to do. I'm going to talk to you about a passage of Scripture that I don't like and that I haven't resolved in my heart, that I still struggle with, that I don't have the answers for, that I can't really figure out how it all truly fits in. I'm some ways down the road, but I'm not all the way there. And so I'm going to bleed all over you this morning. It's kind of weird, because there's all kinds of the passages in the Bible that are tough to take, especially you get into some of the Old Testament stuff. God says, go in, kill them all, kill the women, kill the children, kill the dogs, kill the cats, kill them all. Doesn't bother me. I don't know why it doesn't stir up my heart, but I can kind of handle that. But the passage that we're going to look at today bothers me. It's a struggle for me. And the passage that we're going to look at today is in the Gospel of John. That's why we have to deal with this. Chapter 5. Now, the scholars tell us that the important part of chapter 5 is verse 16 and following. Verse 16 to the end of the chapter. It's very, very important that we look at the entire chapter together. And the meat of the stuff is in verses 16 through the end of the chapter. But what captures our attention, what enamors us, is the first 15 verses. And so what we're going to do today is we're going to read the first 15 verses, and then I'm going to sort of pick our way through and give the framework of the rest of the verses as we wrestle with this thing that bothers me. And then, you know, you can hopefully take some time to wrestle through that. You know, people misunderstand sermons. They think that sermons are supposed to sort of, you know, give the answers and tell us what to do. That's not what sermons do. What sermons do is they raise the questions and give some background that you might perhaps not have access to, so that you can wrestle that through with your friends and in the Christian community. And so that's more or less what I'm going to do today. So we're going to read the first 15 verses of this fifth chapter. And here's what it says. Sometime later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for one of the Jewish festivals. Now there in Jerusalem, near the Sheep Gate, there was a pool which in Aramaic is called Bethesda, which is surrounded by five covered colonnades, balconies with big arches over them. Here, a great number of disabled people used to lie, the blind, the lame, the paralyzed. One who was there had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there, he learned that he'd been in this condition for a long time, and he asked him, do you want to get well? It's an important question because, you see, sometimes we don't want to get well. Sometimes we want to stay right where we are, whether it's a spiritual sickness or a physical sickness or a social situation, because we've sort of gotten used to being in that spot and we're not willing to make the changes necessary. So we're not really sure we want to get well. So Jesus asked this guy, do you want to get well? Do you really want to get well? This thing that's bothering you, this thing that's got you sick, do you want to get well? Sir, the invalid said, I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. Well, I'm trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me. See, there's this sort of superstitious belief, not just amongst the Jews that were there, but pagans used to come to this pool as well, because they believed that the first one in, when this spring would release, the water would rise and bubble up, and they figured that the first one in there stood a chance of getting well. He says, people beat me in the race. Jesus said to him, get up. What he actually says is, be resurrected. Pick up your mat and walk. At once the man was cured. He picked up his mat and he walked. The day in which this took place was the Sabbath. And so the Jewish leader said to the man who'd been healed, hey, it's the Sabbath. The law forbids you to carry your mat. But he replied, "The man who made me well said to me, 'Pick up your mat and walk.'" So they asked him, "Who is this fellow who told you to pick it up and walk?" The man who was healed had no idea who it was, for Jesus had slipped away into the crowd that was there. Later, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, "See, you're well again. Now, stop sinning, or something worse may happen to you." The man went away and told the Jewish leaders that it was Jesus who had made him well. This is the story of a Sabbath miracle. It's a story of a healing of a very sick man. And I'm sure for this sick man, it was very, very good news. I mean, we don't know the exact nature of his illness. We know that it was in such a case that it made him an invalid. He couldn't get down from the bank into the water. Somehow he was restricted in motion. We know that he'd been sick for 38 years. And we suspect that perhaps his illness was somehow connected to sin. Not every sickness is connected to sin. As we'll see in just a few chapters, chapter 9, remember that story, Jesus is walking along. They find this man who'd been blind from birth. And the disciples ask Jesus, because like many people, they sort of think that, you know, if somebody's sick, then God's curse is on them, and therefore they must have sinned. They said, "Jesus, who sinned, this man or his parents that he was born blind?" And Jesus said, "Look, nobody sinned. This is because we live in a broken world. But I'm going to show you God's glory in the midst of this." So not every sickness is connected to sin. But it seems, according to verse 14, that there may have been some kind of connection there. And so we know that this man was sick, and Jesus comes and he says, "Be resurrected. Live again. Be born anew. Stand up. Stand up." I'm sure that he was happy. He kind of shows a strange way of doing it. He doesn't even ask around who healed him. It says Jesus disappeared into the crowd. He doesn't take the time to figure out who Jesus was. And later on, when he finds out who Jesus, that was Jesus that healed him, he rats Jesus out. So I don't understand, you know, that's not really gratitude. But whatever reason, I'm sure for this guy, it was a happy, happy, happy day. Good for him. And for normal people, they're happy to see Jesus' grace. They're happy to see Jesus pour out his mercy on somebody and relieve this person from their suffering. But for whatever reason, I don't know why, for whatever reason, the healed man is not the one that I focus on in this story. For me, what comes to my mind is all of the people that Jesus stepped over to get to the man he healed. I mean, it tells us there that under these five colonnades, they're all there, the lame, the crippled, the blind, the sick, and Jesus, he sort of makes his way through, and there you all are, sick, and just desperately wanting some kind of healing, just desperately hoping you can get down to that water, and Jesus walks around, and he ignores all these guys, and he comes to one guy, and he says, "Hey, you want to get well?" And he heals him. And for the life of me, I can't get over in my mind the other people who should be saying, "I want to get well. I'm sick. I'll even find out who you are, Jesus. I won't rat you out to the leaders. I'm sick. I'm well. Heal me, Jesus." I just can't imagine what it would be like to be one of the people. You're laying beside this guy and he gets healed and Jesus